Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are halfway through the month of June. It's the 16th.
Yeah. My parents' anniversary, it's like their, let's see what it would be there. What am I? So it would be like the 57th anniversary is tomorrow.
Wow.
Yep, 57, maybe 58. They were pretty young. I think they were like 22 when they had me.
Wow.
Yeah, those were the days that it was like you can't have a baby after the age of 30 because it's dangerous and, you know, it's too late and people having babies at like 19 and 20 years old. I mean, it kind of seems outlandish. How old were you when you had your kids?
I don't know. I'd have to sit down with a sheet of paper.
Ah, okay. Well, let's get a little bit of a discussion. We had a very exciting week since the last time we talked. We had markets selling off pretty precipitously.
Yeah, it had a big, that was the classic example of why we didn't pick any stocks last show.
Yep. Last couple
we would
shows.
Get wiped out. It would have been bang, bang. It would have been, you would have whipsawed right out of there.
Right. We are expert market timers in that regard.
Yeah, we missed that one. Yeah. Good thing.
So, I mean, actually, a couple of our stocks are still doing pretty well and haven't gotten dinged. But that froth we talked about, as much as you don't like it, that KRI indicator I have was pretty spot on with that +7, where it was pinned down to the highest level ever in history. On Monday, it hit a 7 on the Friday before, came back and closed at a +6 on Friday. And Monday, it closed at a +7. That was it. Tuesday started kind of coming off Wednesday, and then kaboom, gone. 1,800 points on the Dow. But as we know, they're going to buy the dip, and they did so.
Yep, that's what they did.
Buying the dip. So there's a big conversation out there about whether or not we're in the second wave, and it seems to be an incredible amount of pushback by the powers that be to try to prove that we are not in a second wave. Have you seen this?
Yeah, well, everybody's big. This is very debatable, the whole thing.
I mean,
and now that did you see the latest thing that supposedly, I'm not even sure if this is true or not, but this thing that came out of Brazil.
What?
Well, a bunch of the parliament and a bunch of cops busted into a hospital where there's supposedly 5,000 patients and 200 dead, and there was nobody in there.
Well, why would they be saying it? I don't understand. Is it all to get rid of Bolsonaro?
Yeah, pretty much.
So it all revolves once again around politics and the people that are in power. Maybe the people that are in power have too much power, because if everybody wants that power so badly that they'll make up lies and all this, maybe it's just too much.
I don't know. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But it's...
I haven't heard that. I would... I mean, everything that we're seeing is Brazil is what, number two now in the total count? It's USA, Brazil.
Yeah.
Then I don't know who's after that. But yeah, it's pretty bad. Anyway, so this whole second wave discussion, whether we're in it or not, or happening or not, or whether we were, that was the second wave and this is a mini third wave, or maybe it's not even a wave, who knows? But markets are reacting pretty significantly on all of that. So even with that and this mini crash that we have.
You think that even if there was a wave, no wave, some wave, that the market still wouldn't have reacted to screwball?
Yeah, well, I think that the markets were just out of control for like
so
3 weeks coming into that. And it's still screwy. I mean, when you have stocks that are up, first of all, when you have bankrupt stocks that are up 500%, it should be ringing a little bell saying, something's not quite right.
This isn't right.
Yeah, something's not right about this. We saw the VIX spike to 44 again, which is pretty high. I mean, that's 44 when we had this big market move to the upside over the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And we went from about a 30 or so to a 44, now back to a 34, which, by the way, 34 is really high also.
Yeah.
So now we have the Fed all in and more, just piling it on. Doesn't matter, you know, that we have markets at all-time high, yields at relatively all-time lows, and we have a better economic situation and them talking out of one side of their face and saying, hey, you know what? The recovery is going to happen. in 2021, the second half, and then into 2020 second half and into 2021. But no, they keep on talking about they will do everything that they need to do, use the entire toolkit. Anyway.
I know they had a toolkit.
Yeah, they have a toolkit.
What's a toolkit?
Yeah, it's a toolkit.
What is it?
It's a bunch of tools inside of them that they can pull out at any given time.
Like, a kit.
Yeah, so if like there's a screw that needs tightening, well, they can do that. Kind of like, you know, the banking area. If there's a nut that needs to be cracked, well, okay, they can use a wrench. They need to make a hole in something, they have a drill. They have a lot of tools. They can hammer something if they need to do that. Whatever they need to do, they got the tool. They have a tool. So as far as the market is going, we have this talk of excess. That's all the rage, talking about the Robin Hood traders. And that's code for, I guess, amateur speculators. And there's the idea that once you get all of these know-it-all day traders that are trying to cash in, you have the elements of the famous story of the shoeshine boy. You know that one, right?
No.
I think it was either Rockefeller or Baruch. The story goes back and forth on who this was. But basically, when he was one day getting his shoes shined, his shoeshine boy said, hey, you know, what do you think about this stock or this market? And he said, you know what? When it gets to the point of the shoeshine boy starting to talk about stocks.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's like the famous. That's like that's my infamous Bitcoin story. You know that one, where I was getting my car one night and the valets were standing around a kind of an area, and I walked over. I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? Because they were kind of like doing something. Oh, we're trading Bitcoin. I'm like, oh, nope, out. I had a few shares of Bitcoin at that point. I'm like, nope, not doing it.
Well, this happened to me during the dot-com crash in like 1999, just before things fell apart. Mm-hmm. And I was working at Tech TV, and one of the camera women came up to me and asked me, do I think that Jupiter Networks is a good investment?
Oh, JNPR.
And I said, I don't know, maybe. And then I sold everything.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what we got here. Cruise lines and airlines still in trouble. As a matter of fact, after hours tonight, there was an announcement. We'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about another backdoor bailout that's going on.
So, no, another one. You've already identified two of them.
Yeah. Yep. This is another one coming. I'll mention Nick the Rat is in the house right now, and he asked me to be on a show, and I'm going to be on Nick the Rat's show, his radio show, next week or the week after. I forgot which the date is, but that's coming up. He sent me his interview with John McAfee. I'm like, I got to follow up on that. I'm not going to be as interesting. So it should be kind of fun.
Yeah, well, you know, we made Nick Durrett what he is.
Yeah, and Nick was one of the original designers of DH Unplugged website. He did the work for us to get that WordPress up.
Yeah, he did a good job.
And I asked you, who's this Nick Durrett? I said, what kind of a name is that?
Who's this guy?
I don't understand. So anyway, looking forward to it, Nick. It should be a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about matching he wears kind of, I think, some kind of rat outfit during his show. So I was thinking about maybe
this
getting.
This is one of those. I think this is not. I think what he's wearing, I think this is a project. It's like a Snapchat thing. It's like projected on him. I don't think that's him wearing anything. Oh. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'll have to find out. I was thinking about getting some Mickey Mouse ears or something like that. Well, that would be a mouse.
But don't get carried away.
No? Okay. There you go.
People take pictures of that and they use it against you.
All right, the Fed came out last week. This is one of the reasons that the market came down. A lot of people were looking for, like, what happened? So it was a combination of this rampant speculation that was happening, as well as the fact that, you know, things were getting a little bit just overdone for a while. But what I think happened was this. The Fed came out on Wednesday and had an FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, meeting and a press conference. And nobody thought they were going to lower rates, right? They can't really lower rates beyond where they are because they're in the ZERP zone, the zero interest rate program.
Right.
So they didn't do anything there, but they did, of course, talk about how they're going to be using their full toolkit, anything that needs to be done, all that good stuff, right? But
toolkit.
Here's what really kind of, I think, freaked people out. Not initially, because initially what they said was, and it kind of helped markets for a little while there, was that they are going to keep rates this low, and they're projecting it that they're not going to even think about or even think about thinking about, that's exactly the words you used, raising rates to like 2023. And I was like, what? 2023? We're going to be in a zero interest rate bound till 2023? Fed was very concerned. It was clear that the markets were, you know, very, very excited about this, that we have low rates for a really long period of time.
And guaranteed.
Then, yeah. And then I think the next day, people were like, on Thursday, wait a minute. Is it that bad that we have to actually keep rates at that level for two more years? I mean, I thought we were supposed to have a V recovery, right? That was the whole narrative that's going on.
Yeah, or a check mark by some people.
Check mark or a swoosh. And, you know, things are getting better. People are getting out. It's all, you know, it's okay. It's a temporary situation. We had 2.5 million people that got on the payrolls last month. The unemployment rate dropped. And, you know, we're supposed to be in 2020 to 2021 making a full recovery here. Markets then the next day said, oh, man, something's not right. The Fed was very, very dovish and almost spooked. So that being the case, the market just totally sold off. Now, let me take you one more day further. Another weirdity. That's a word.
Oh, is this all? Wait a minute. Did this all happen before that 1,800-point drop?
Yes, this was Wednesday.
What you just described?
Wednesday, okay. Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock and 2:30 was the press conference. And the markets kind of came down initially on Wednesday when this was said, then went back up and closed higher for the day on Wednesday. And then Thursday, all bets were off.
Yeah, the rug was pulled.
Now, Friday, the market started opening up and futures were coming in pretty hard. And then all of a sudden, the strangest thing happened. The Fed came out with a mid-month commentary that the jobs number looked really good for this month. They were looking better. So I saw that and I'm like, wait a second. Markets were off a bunch before they said this. How is it that the Fed is now coming in with interim guidance? Really weird.
It's very weird.
I mean, next they're going to be talking about earnings or something like that. I mean, it's crazy.
Earning. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It sounds like that's where they're headed.
Yeah.
They're taking over the place.
Yeah. Then fast forward. Now, okay, they cleaned up the market on Friday. It didn't drop anymore. As a matter of fact, it went up. Monday, things are okay. Things are doing well. Markets started down. They were down like 2% on Monday, Sunday night into Monday morning because of all the things that were happening with COVID over the weekend in Texas and all these states and Florida and Beijing. And all of a sudden, they update their bond buying program. They talk about, if you remember, they're going to be buying not only municipals, but treasuries and corporates. But they were going to be buying also, corporates through the open markets in ETFs. Remember that, right?
Yep.
Now they do a detail revision, or at least an update, of their term sheet. And they said that the this special program they have will be purchasing corporate bonds to create a corporate bond portfolio that based on a broad diversified market index of U.S. corporate bonds. And this index is made up of the bonds in the secondary market that have been issued by U.S. companies that satisfy the facility's minimum rating, maximum maturity, and other criteria. Other words, let me give you the layman's version of this. They're going out and buying individual bonds of companies now.
How's this different than what the Japanese were condemned for doing?
Well, they're condemned for actually buying up not only the ETFs in the open market of equities, of real estate and all that, but not far off. So now what companies can
we can stop you there for a second. When you say not far off, do you think they're going to take the next step?
It seems that way. It's going that direction. I'll be honest with you. I may hang up my hat at that point. I mean, what's the point? What's the point of having any kind of investment analysis if, in fact, you have the Fed with an unlimited amount of money just buying stocks? Does investment analysis help anything?
No, it wouldn't. No. Why would it?
No.
Because all the government has to do is come in and do whatever it wants to do and change any... wouldn't make any difference.
Now, at the same time, that doesn't mean that stocks always go up. When they announce something like that, they do. I mean, the Japanese markets have had a lot of ups and downs, of course. But this is I find this to be really distressing, because here's what happens now. Now we have zombie companies all over the place that are unable to pay their debt load and possibly don't have enough revenue to cover their interest payments, going out and issuing more bonds because there is a ready buyer right in the market. And those companies that have problems, yet they're not rated poorly, will be bought by the Fed. And they could do it on a one-off basis if they wanted to and make the excuse that they're buying it for their index. Now, what this also means is companies can over-leverage. Price discovery is gone. So now, if you had a company that maybe wasn't as solid as another company, the interest rates may be the same. So somebody that, you know, is buying an Apple bond at a 3% rate, let's say, there's another bond out there, the company that's not so great, and because there's so much money that's available and an unlimited amount, and the Fed doesn't really, they're not going to look to necessarily, you know, follow the ratings, because the ratings aren't meaningful anymore. The ratings just don't mean anything. So the worst thing now here, so the markets did move up on this news. So my concern about this is that that this is another backdoor bailout and a corporate bailout, specifically, I think, for Boeing now. Because if you think about this, who is this for? Is it for Apple? Though Apple could issue bonds, no problem. What other big companies are there? It's the banks. The banks need to bring in money. But don't forget that Boeing said, I pass on taking the bailout from the government. And they went out to the open markets and got money through their regular channels. And now they can continue to get money with no strings attached. Whereas if they took the bailout, they may have been told, hey, you know what? If you do this, you can't build this many planes, or you can't sell to these people, or you can't fire anybody. But now this is a way of them getting debt issuance out at a very reasonable rate, because Fed doesn't care about
it. Right, without the strings and the oversight.
Yep.
It's dynamite.
Yep. Yep. So this, I think, does lend itself to the thought that there is a lot more problems in the system that they're letting on to. I just can't imagine that they would have gone this far and they keep on doing this if everything was just hunky-dory and there's just no problems and everything is just fine, you know? So, again, we talked about this maybe four shows ago, but we've basically socialized capitalism. So this also means the dollar down, possible inflation, more speculation. There's a chart I gave you here about the price distortion. So this is the LQD ETF. This is the ETF that tracks bonds, liquid, high-rated, investment-grade bonds. But look at this. This is unbelievable. Oh, by the way, you can find these on the show notes for DH Unplugged, episode number 510 at dhunplugged.com. So since, what is that, March 23rd, the bottom of the market where everything was selling off, right? 61, yes. 61 bars. So not 61 days, a bit more because of weekends. So 61 trading days. The LQD, not inclusive of dividends that they pay out, so not total return, just price, is up 27%. Now, mind you, I know it went down a lot right there, right? We're at an all-time high again for LQD. So there's been no skin taken off the bonds of the benchmark index.
Yeah, whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
And if you include dividends, you're even at a higher point. So therefore, there's no discount on bonds of companies, corporate America, for the massive recession that we're involved in. There's no
discount. It makes no sense whatsoever.
There's no discount for the fact that there'll be companies that fail. There'll be companies that have difficulty, companies that may have problems. And moreover, This shows the fact that they'll be easy to issue new debt, and it'll just be gobbled up. Because the investors in the current bonds are saying, hey, you know what? If the Fed's buying everything, nothing can go down. Nothing goes down. Nothing. You know, remember the old too big to fail?
Yeah, it's like now everything's...
Nothing will fail.
Nothing. Yeah, you can't even use the phrase anymore. It's just...
Yep. So you can hear that I'm a little frustrated about this. I mean, I'm happy that we can make some money on this. Don't get me wrong. But this is not going to end well. It can't end well.
No, I agree. And that's why people should donate to this show, by the way. We're the only ones that discuss anything in these terms.
That's correct. That is...
Just throwing that in.
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. This was interesting. This was a report put out by Fidelity. And this chart shows who sold the stocks and groups them by age in the period of, I think it's February 20th through May 15th. The share of individuals that invest at Fidelity that sold all of their equity holdings between February 2nd and May 15th. So the peak is the 70-plus group. 30% of them sold all of their equity holdings. All of them.
Bailed out.
Gone. So this is, I mean, the 60 to 64 range sold, 25% sold out. 65 to 69, 30% sold out. And all, every single age group, on average, 17% of the Fidelity account holders sold all of their equity holdings. Now, I don't know if there's something to be said about that. There's no longer any commissions to sell stocks, so therefore it's easier to buy and sell. People don't care about paying, you know, you don't have to pay the $5 or $10 anymore.
Yeah.
But this is pretty astounding.
I'd say. Yep. Is this something you can track? Is it going to go, is this something that's continuous?
I mean, this is, they put these out every once in a while. We could probably get the same information from TD Ameritrade. They put out a lot of this kind of material as well. But I don't think it's...
That's a lot of all cash.
Yeah.
Or real estate. They may be moving it.
Yep. They're moving it to the millennials who are just buying everything.
No, I mean, what are they doing with their money?
The millennials?
No, the 70-year-old guy who sold everything.
I mean, I can tell you from people that have been calling me over the last couple of months that there is a large group of people that sold out sometime and did not get back in.
Yeah, but they didn't. What is it? Are they in literally in cash? Are they buying gold?
Nope, they're in cash.
Just cash.
Yep. This is a conversation I've had to have with a lot of people and discuss this with them about, you know, what their goals are. Now, if you're 75 or 80 years old, maybe you don't want to be involved in the stock market at this point. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you, right? I mean, why should you argue with somebody like that about that? I mean, what am I going to say? What, we're going to invest over the next 10 years. We're going to invest for the next generation. What can I tell them about that? I have no problem with them wanting to pull out. If you're 50, I understand lightening up potentially and maybe reallocating and diversifying. I get that. But selling everything out, that just doesn't make any sense. Again, depending on where you are in your life, your age, and your risk tolerance.
Well, listening to your potential gloom and doom, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I will. But we won't sell out our core clients. We will not sell out ever. Well, maybe in some cases, but all out. It's impossible to time the markets. It's impossible. I've tried. It's impossible. I've learned years ago. And so what we do is we lighten up, we reallocate, we change the investment, slightly and kind of move it around. But, and I talked about this last like 3 weeks on the Disciplined Investor podcast, the whole concept of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. If you don't want to be in because you don't like the volatility, that's fine. But you know what? Don't, you know, go into safer plays, go into some staples, large caps. Don't just take it all out in a big sweeping fashion. It just makes no sense. Especially because when you're going to do it, it's probably at the wrong time.
Well, that's always going to be true.
Yeah. So to continue on our discussion about the craziness of this market, I don't think we talked about Hertz a bit, how Hertz is bankrupt, but it went up 500%. It's back down again. Here's where it gets really interesting. This is mind-blowing stuff. Hertz, which is bankrupt, I have to say that every time, Hertz, or which is going through the bankruptcy process, which also means, right, that what happens to the common stocks? They're done.
Should be.
Gone. They got permission from the bankruptcy court to sell $1 billion of common stock in a secondary offering.
Well, that's peculiar.
This makes me laugh. So Hertz, which has a market cap, I don't even know. I got to look at the market cap of Hertz. I think it's 504, maybe 300 million. HTZ. Market cap of Hertz is 277 million. Okay, 277 million. They're going to issue $1 billion worth of stock.
What's the book value of Hertz? Let's get the page open.
Let's see if we have this. That's not where I want to go. Here. Book value of Hertz. Okay. Bid open. No, it's not that page. I got to go to fundamentals. Strategic profile financials. I'm having a hard time finding. Let's see. Profile historical statistics. That should be it. Peg, price to book. Price to book is 0.29, but where is... sort of profile. Yeah, maybe the financials.
That's why you can't find it.
I can't find it. I'm on a different computer, so it's very difficult to find all this stuff. P.E. ratio, X dividend, HTZ book value. Let's do it this way.
That's one way of doing it.
Let's see. I have evaluation measures. That's it. Let's see. Evaluation, yeah. There's price to book is there. I'll do it this way. Book value per share, $9.67. I don't even know how that's possible. Because they have debt outstanding of total debt, $20 billion of debt. $20 billion of debt on a $223 company. So how do you get book value per share of $9.64? How does that, it doesn't compute.
What's the enterprise value then?
The enterprise value. Let's see if we have that up here. Of course, it's not on this page. All right. I'm not on my usual computer for this stuff. I can't tell you.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that something's amiss. Maybe people trading on the book value.
Well,
thinking, oh, it's always going to be worth $9 a share just on the, just if you liquidate, which sell the cars and property and everything.
It's possible. Well, they're putting out $1 billion of secondary.
Yeah, that should change things.
And who is buying that secondary when, in fact, the secondary
maniacs
talks about how, you know, this is a worthless stock. I don't know. And they got away with it. That's the hysterical part of this. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yep. Retail sales, they came out today. We saw the retail sales for the month of May up the biggest amount on a month-on-month basis for the month of January. For historical purposes, the largest move ever, up 17.7%. That was like the heyday of China when you saw that. Going back, yeah. Never before seen that. I mean, the records go back to 1992, but car sales were up big as well. So, I mean, this is, again, off a very low base. So if you think about, we've had a couple of months where we've had some really downstrokes. So we've had 18%, 5-6%. I mean, so you're down 30%. So now the 17% is month over month, but there really was not anything going on in April. You know?
Yeah.
So
zip.
Yep. Trump rallies are back.
Supposedly.
Yeah, supporters of President Trump will soon be able to attend one of his signature, they call it a signature, it's like a dinner, raucous campaign rallies after a month-long hiatus because of the coronavirus pandemic. However, they must agree not to sue the campaign if they contract the virus after the event.
Yeah, well, they just sign a document as they go in or something. I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
On the registration button on the page that's of the
website.
Oh,
I see. Okay, that's the way
they click the button, and it's like, you know, if you sign it here, if you agree to this, then, you know, okay.
Oh, the people will agree to that in a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, how's it going to be any more dense than the protest in New York?
Right.
Which went on for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, days and weeks for that matter.
Days and weeks.
Right.
So I think it's minor, but they're going to make a big stink about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not minor, though. I mean, we both agree the protesters shouldn't have been as close as they were. And obviously, masks help.
Yeah, and there's probably only 70% wore masks.
Right. I think they're going to be required to wear masks in this, too.
I'm interested in seeing this because Trump has been out of the picture for so long in terms of these rallies that he has to have developed totally new material.
Oh, you think he's been working in the back room, huh?
Well, he has to. I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched a Trump rally.
Of course.
I probably watched three of them over the last number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And complete from beginning to end. You want to watch the whole thing? Because he does it. It's really a stand-up comedy routine.
Yes.
and the one he did was an hour and a half. He started off, I watched when he did he did about a half hour. And then the audience loved it so much that he ended up, you know, dragging it on to an hour. And he pretty much stabilized it about an hour of material. And then he did 1 hour and a half show, which was pretty remarkable, I have to say. And then he started repeating himself. And then I think he's just repeating himself. This is the same bit. But then he started changing it. But then he came out, he was pulled off the stage because of the COVID. And so I have to assume he's built up a whole new act.
That would be interesting to see.
So there's two things we're talking about. This at the dinner table. There's two things that not everyone wants to watch him do this hour act, but I do. I think it's entertaining, but I think he would break records. Everyone agrees both sides of the aisle. If you can ever, I don't know if this is ever going to happen, but if you ever get a Biden Trump debate, the ratings will skyrocket.
Of course we're going to have a Biden debate. What are you talking about?
Oh, Biden doesn't want to debate Trump.
Is Biden, where is he, by the way? Still in the basement?
Yeah, he's in the basement.
In the basement, yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it should be pretty interesting. I mean, he's going to have to come out. I mean, this is prime campaign time. Right,
Biden in the basement. Well, he's doing okay down there. You see, his numbers are up according to these polls, which are very dubious. And so they're just being encouraged to stay down there by his campaign managers.
Do you think, though, I mean, listen, President Trump is pretty much, he's done some things, but he has not been out there like he was out there.
Yeah, maybe he's ill.
And by the way, what's with the two-handed water drinking?
He's done that before. And
what is
no
that?
One's. I don't know. He's done it before. We saw this about a year ago or a year and a half ago. He did this with a big glass and he had the two hands around it and he drinks it like a lizard or something. It's very strange. He did it again.
Yeah, he did the other day. It's like it's like maybe his left arm doesn't come up hard enough. You know, it's like it's stuck in that. Maybe he can't lift it or something. Or right arm.
Well, he's got the other arm and he golfs all the time. So that doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make sense. You're right. You're right. Well, your left arm, you don't really have to bring up that much when you golf. And you can do the kind of like the Arnie Palmer money shot.
Yeah, but you got to pull through the ball with the left arm. You really do have to use both arms to hit the ball correctly.
I think that's probably my problem now that I think about it. Kind of stop short. Kind of yip it. You play golf?
I used to play golf. I used to be on I used to play golf and caddy.
Oh, you walked it?
Yeah, that's in the olden days. Yeah, we walked it.
And did you gave all the, you know, you were kind of like, hey, about 2 feet outside the cup, you got a seven on the slope.
I wasn't that kind. I wasn't a consultant caddy. I just dragged my ass around the course.
You did that and cleaned the club when you got all the dirt on it.
Ball washer.
Yep. Well, we have more e-cars. Ford Motor is coming out with plans with an all-electric version of the Ford F-150 pickup and Ford Transit van. They're planning on doing this by mid-2022. Yeehaw.
Good luck.
Yeah. Statues, flags are coming down. By the way, I was on the boat this weekend on Sunday. which I believe was President Trump's birthday, where he was making the suggestion that boaters should fly flags. And boy, was there a lot of Trump flags out there.
Trump flags or just American flags or what kind of flags?
I had a pretty big American flag on my boat. But a lot of other boats have the Trump 2020. Sometimes they have one or two of those and the American flag. But there's definitely boaters for Trump down here in Fort Lauderdale.
I would assume so.
It's a thing. It's a definite thing. Let me just say this also. I didn't see every boat, first of all, that was out there. But I was at the sandbar and there's a lot of boats. Not one Biden flag. Not one.
Is there even such a thing as a Biden flag?
I don't know. I saw one in my neighborhood. You go down this one particular street, we call it Trump Alley, because every house has like big Trump flags hanging outside, like a, you know, it's like a thing. And this one. So everybody's got these poles that they suck, these big poles. And it's like on top of a pole, right? The Biden flag is like a 2 foot off the floor, off the ground. This little Biden flag. Not so proud, I guess.
You know, I'd like to just take a picture of these things.
I should. I will do that. I'll do that. And we got statues and flags and things and all this stuff is coming down. NASCAR is banning the Confederate flag at events and properties. Certain statues being pulled down and defaced. There's a petition for the city of Plantation, Florida, which is right down the block from me, to change their name.
Why?
Because Plantation. It has a connotation of a slave, place where slaves were enslaved and had to work. Cotton,
there are plenty of plantations with no slaves. It's just it's just nomenclature.
We're going to rewrite history, it seems. And Broward County.
Are they going to change the name of Plantation, Florida to Bumfuck? That'd be a good name.
To Jacaranda.
Jacaranda, Florida. That's not a bad name.
Well, because we do have a city called Jacaranda.
Oh, well, then you can't name
it. That's right next to Jacaranda Plantation.
Jacaranda, too.
Yeah, it's right next to it. You know, so this is everything's changing. Now, I'm just saying a couple of things that have changed in my lifetime that I think I'm happy about. There was the old Jewfish.
I never heard of a Jewfish.
Now it's called the Goliath grouper. It's like an 800-pound fish.
Oh, I know this fish. Yeah. Yes, this is a big fish.
Big fish. It's the kind of thing that...
Big, ugly fish. Big, I can see why they didn't like it. Call it Jewfish.
It's called the Jewfish.
That's insulting.
Well, they changed that. So I don't know what else would be changed in that. I don't know if it's any towns or anything, or Jewtown, or...
Is there a Jewtown?
Not that I'm aware of.
You know, but...
There's a Jewville.
I've heard of a Jewville, but Jewtown. There's a lot of jokes you can come up with. You're gonna go in the Jewtown direction.
Can't have juicy fruit. Juicy fruit. So it's a kind of. I feel.
Oh, now you're acting like Woody Allen.
Yeah.
He's walking down the street with his buddy. He says, "Yeah." He said, "Did you see that?"
Yeah.
Did you see Jew? He says Jew.
Well, this is getting a little out of hand, in my opinion, but whatever. Let's kind of take a couple minutes on the coronavirus just to kind of dig into a couple things here. Houston area officials are getting close to reimposing a stay-at-home order, which I'm pretty shocked about this. I didn't think they'd be able to do this or wanted to do this. Because I think it's Houston. They're at 74% of hospitalization rate or something like that. And we have this massive spike in South Carolina, Florida, Texas, Arizona, North Carolina. Florida reported new cases rose to the highest level since the pandemic began, and Texas saw hospitalization surge. You know, the thing that bothers me is, there is one thing that bothers me. That first of all, most of these states didn't play by the quote-unquote rules that were laid out. Remember the 14 days, phase one, if you don't have any increases, phase two. They're like, we're opening.
There were suggestions.
I know, but it was a good idea. I mean, why make everybody stay home for 2 months and then just screw it all up? So I think that this was a problem. But okay, so Beijing is shutting down the schools again. There's a big outbreak. It was supposedly carried in on fish, which I'm not buying. And it was on salmon in particular. Now there is no salmon in China.
Dubious. That doesn't sound right.
Cut out the salmon. So it's a problem. But there is good news on the coronavirus front. There was an old drug, a steroid called dexamethasone. Dexamethasone. It's the first drug to show that it helped severely ill coronavirus patients, according to the scientists in Britain. One third of the seriously ill patients seem to come off ventilators earlier and survive. It's a, I think it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory steroid.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they're experimenting on these people.
In cruise news, Norwegian Airlines tonight, having trouble speaking, and after the close announced an extension of their previously announced suspension of global cruises, including voyages embarking between August 1st and September 30th. So they pushed it back. You can't cruise until October now. Everybody was all excited about July. Forget it. You can't cruise until at least October. That's the Norwegian, Oceania, and Regent lines. And needless to say, the cruise lines tanked after hours. The airlines also came down. A couple more things here. Watching the time. Secondary offering. Oh. SoftBank's Vision Fund head, Rajiv Misra, saw his total pay for the past year more than double to $15 million, even as the fund had massive underperformance and lost $13 billion. So I guess.
Yeah, well, there you have it. That's the reason you want to be one of these guys.
Yep. Secondary offerings. U.S. public companies sold more than $60 billion of shares in May in form of secondary offerings, or is known as a dilutive act, which is not good for earnings. Remember how if companies buy back their stocks, that's good, right? If they sell the stocks in the open market, it's the reverse of that. Therefore, not good. So this is the biggest monthly haul ever as they try to capitalize on the stock market's rally and say, get me, you know, get some money in here. Now, I want to talk
probably not a bad idea.
No, it's probably a great idea, but it's just something to recognize that they are doing reverse of the buybacks. Yeah,
they're diluting everything.
Yeah. So we're in a politically correct environment, right?
Except for us podcasters.
Right. So I thought maybe you could help me with this because I've been reading a lot about this LGBTIQ cap NGFNB, whatever, or the LGBTQQIP2SAA.
Yeah, this is the number of competing monikers.
Well, can we come up with something a little bit shorter? We need to put this in like a tiny URL because these are out of control, aren't they? And so what are some of these?
Well, the best one is that real long one. I used to have it posted here where I could just read it off.
It's longer than these?
What?
It's longer than the ones I gave you?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, both of those are short compared to this one.
Oh, my gosh. What is questioning?
What do you mean, what's questioning?
There's lesbian. This one that I gave you is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning.
Yeah, you're questioning your sexuality.
What's intersex?
Intersex mean, it has to do, I always like to think of it as having sex with animals.
Oh, come on.
But no, it's got something else. It means something. I always think of it that way, but it's not what it means. I forgot what intersex is.
And what is two-spirit?
Oh, two-spirit is some Indian thing, some like a Native American, Native peoples kind of something. It's got something to do with you got both spirits in you or something, and it's been adapted. It's one of those really, it's too inclusive. They got too many of these things that they're 10 people practice. I don't know. Nobody's listening to this show is two-spirited, I can assure you.
My favorite, I think, because I just think it's really cool. If I don't exactly know what it is, but I'm thinking I know what it is this gender fluid.
Gender fluid.
I mean, if you're going to be one side or the other, that seems like, you know, you just kind of like
floating around,
move in and out of maybe
like pansexual.
Yeah. Move in and out of maybe being a man, a woman, or something else. And then
pansexual, you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could ridicule this forever. It doesn't bode well for the future of the show if we go on and on, even discuss it.
Right. Well, the Supreme Court did rule that employers cannot fire employees based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. So that just came up. So that's
good. Yeah,
that
was interesting.
Yep.
All based on the use of the word sex in the law, which was not predefined. But many laws have the predefinitions at the beginning of the law so you don't have any confusion as to what this word's for.
Yeah.
And since they didn't do that with the word sex, meaning man or woman, I think is what it was. Most people think that's what it kind of meant, but it wasn't specific enough. And so it was really probably they probably did the right thing.
Well, let me kind of bring to you to a
most
point.
Most states, like states of California, I don't know. This is the, I woke up with that news and I said, what? Who cares? It's been that way in California for 50 years, as far as I know.
Right. No, I just put it down on the books. So I think this is probably a point of the show. This is a low point of life right now, realization of just how bad things have become because this news came out today and I find it not only disturbing, I find it sickening. I find it upsetting. I find it depressing. And that is that airlines, including EasyJet, KLM in Europe, Delta Airlines, America Airlines in the United States, and Asia's Virgin Australia are suspending all or part of their alcoholic sales on their planes.
Well, that is the lowest of the low.
I mean, this is seriously, I'm not even kidding. This is like, really? Have we gotten to this?
We're going to have to bring a flask.
You got to have, you know what you got to have? You got to have a mask that doubles as a flask. So you have a straw on the inside, right?
Yeah, with the two beers on a hat you're wearing.
I bet you if you look up mask flask, I'm looking it up. Mask flask, right? That's the name, right?
That's the name of our product, mask flask.
Mask with flask on Etsy. Yeah, there it is. Let's see. Flask mask. Mask with 8-ounce stainless steel. How does that work? Oh. Hmm. This may be a design that somebody has to come up with. I don't really see a lot going on here with this. Maybe it's somewhere. The mask flask. Here's something. Drink responsibly. You know, there's a little pouch in there. There's a straw. Yeah, there's a straw on the inside. There you go. We got to put this on one of those crowdfunding sites.
Oh, no. We take it to Shark Tank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see here. AT&T is eliminating 3,400 jobs and closing 250 wireless stores. So if you thought your service sucked before customer service, now it's you're done. 3,400 jobs of leaving. Technician and clerical jobs over the next few weeks. And they're going to permanently shutter 250 AT&T mobility.
Why? Are people using their phone less? Is that what happened?
I guess
that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
They should be hiring people.
Because they can. Because they can. You know what I'm saying? In other words, right now, you got cover. You know, everybody needs to kind of cut back a little bit. And they got cover, so they could do so.
Yeah, bigger bonuses for the top guys. That's the way I see it.
John mentioned at the top of the show that it's a great opportunity for you to help out the show and invest in your future because what we're doing is trying to bring you some cutting edge and not so usual news or the usual news and told a different way. Get into the facts. You can donate to the show by going to dhunplugged.com, hitting the little yellow button, clicking away. You can do it on a weekly basis, a one-time basis. We really encourage you to do so because it just it feels good. When people do it, they always write to me and say, you know what, I feel good that I'm helping out the show. A lot of things that we have to pay for behind the scenes, a lot of work that goes into this, from the design to the servers to the shirts to just everything we do. Just all the stuff we do. And then, of course, staff that has to do things to get this running. This isn't just like, if you haven't noticed, it's casual and unrehearsed, but we do have topics we talk about. So go over to dhunplugged.com and donate, please. Thank you. All right, couple things. Putin forever. Putin forever. Russian President Vladimir Putin has set July 1st as the new date for a constitutional referendum that could allow him to remain in power through 2036.
Yeah, there's also going to put a law through in Russia that says he can't die.
Oh.
He figures that'll do it. That'll help.
Mm. China did this recently. So we got now, we know there hasn't really been quote unquote fair voting in Russia for a long time, right?
We have to assume that.
So why even bother putting himself into power to 2036 when we know he's just going to win all the time?
Well, because it's a one-upsmanship thing. It's like the guys that each guy's have their little bigger yacht. And since Xi put himself into power, but he didn't have a cutoff. He just put himself into power forever.
Mm-hmm.
Putin's going to have to go that route, I think, eventually.
Yeah. And in your neck of the woods, PG&E, that's where you get your electricity from, right?
Yes.
They pled guilty to 84 deaths related to the wildfires a couple of years back.
No, they pled guilty. I find out who's going to go to jail.
Well,
if I murdered 85 people, I'd go to jail. So right. Who's going to jail?
Nobody. Nobody will. Yeah. Maybe a couple of people will lose their jobs. They'll probably be the people that worked on the lines, not the management, or maybe a couple of people in management, but not like the major players, because they're appalled. They didn't follow the rules. It's not what their usual way of doing things, because nobody takes the blame if it's their fault. They only take the blame if it's something good for them. Take the accolades and not the fault.
Yep, pretty much.
How it works. We have some Fed limericks. We have two in. I'm going to try my best to read them. You can always send in your limericks to dhemail@dhunplugged.com. And this seems to be a staff favorite here. It seems to be everybody, you know, when we don't have the limericks, everybody's like, where are the limericks? So we have two of them today. The chat room, lots of people in the chat room this evening. And you can grade these. You're on about a 20-second delay, but you can grade these. So get ready. So you have to... Once you hear it, you have to grade it immediately, chat room, because otherwise we're on the next one already. So you just need to come in with a letter grade from A to F or somewhere in between. So the first one is from Michael Zavala. The president sleeps on his feet. The windows are smashed on the street. Always problems to fix with Bill Gates in the mix and his preference for blonde and petite.
Well, you know, that's a reasonably C plus B limerick, except for one glaring problem. It's not a Fed limerick.
That is true. That is some truth there.
Yes. So unless we have open-ended limericks.
It's political in a way, but yes, not
it's
Fed.
It's a political limerick that's got, so I have to give it an F.
Mike gets a... Oh, a failing grade. Now, from a limerick standpoint, it wasn't terrible because it did.
No, I would have given it a B minus C plus. It's in that category.
Oh. I wonder if the next one's a Fed limerick either, now that I'm looking at it.
I think people are getting, we've let these slide in the past. Yeah. We've let these non-Fed ones slide. And the next thing you know, everyone's going for broke with, you know, random limericks.
Yeah, you have to have Yellen back in there, you know, Yellen and Bellen and Powell.
Yeah,
and
Yellen's rhymable. You got
Bernanke is not.
Powell's rhymable. Bernanke's the only one who's not.
Bernanke.
Well, you got Bernanke and Hanky Panky. So yeah. There's that possibility.
Yeah. The next one's from Dave Arell. I think it's Arell, yeah. The market is running the bear. Now, let me start again. The market is outrunning the bear while the economy is still in despair. Everyone is in dread. The corona may still spread. But damned if we need some air.
But damn if we need some air.
Yeah, that one.
Well, that one kind of pooped out there on us.
Yep.
The way I see it. It had a, you know, it was going and going, and then it just was, it didn't have any punch whatsoever. I'm going to give it just a C.
All right, C. So let's just make it straight. Rules are, it has to be related to the Fed, monetary policy, quantitative easing, one of the Fed players, something Fed.
Yeah, something
Fed. All right. Well, that just ends that little jaunt. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. You take the list, sir.
Okay, well, we have... One got kicked off, which is Sysco, the food service company.
Which is surprising.
I agree. The one short that's still, we have two shorts on there. One is dead money, kind of. Something might happen. The other one is Alphabet Class C short, and it's up. Excellent. I'm looking at this thing in Amazon is just a potential great collapses eventually.
I would definitely go with the Google/Alphabet on that. Amazon still has a couple of areas they can do well in terms of cloud. I mean, Alphabet has that as well, but I still think that there's a possible drop in advertising revenue, which is their bread and butter, which could be a real problem.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. Medtronic's at the top of the list, which I did buy into eventually. It's up 24%. WW International, which is yours. I don't know. I can't remember your rationale.
That's Weight Watchers. Everybody's getting fat during the virus.
Oh, Weight Watchers. WW Weight Watchers.
They were up 19%. It's way up. 19% today.
Yeah, it's up.
Yep.
The Smith & Wesson dual pick, which we've never failed on.
Never.
A dual picks always goes up, and there it is, 19% up. Guns.
Yep.
And then IBM, which is my short, because I think the company's a dog, is and the chart looks like crap. I think it hasn't done anything, but I think it will. So that's how, there's not much going on. It's pretty weak. We didn't pick anything last time. You got a couple, and I have one. Which we can put on.
Yep. Tell me that first.
This is an insider's deal, and I kind of like the chart. BHC. You got a combination of descending triangle and or ascending. I think this is an ascending triangle, actually. And
Bausch Health. That's the Bausch and little Bausch and Lomb.
Bausch Health companies. It's a good company. I think it's not a bad long.
All right. It was up 8.51% today.
Yeah.
So that was rocking pretty well. So I got two things. So we're in a time period of crazy speculation, right? We've talked about this. People buying bankrupt companies. This thing's going on. So I have, and I did some research on two SPACs. You got to look this up if you have a chance. There's a pretty good page over on the NASDAQ. Look up NASDAQ SPAC, Special Purpose Acquisition Company. In the old days, this was what was called a blind pool. It was a company that came to the market and basically registered on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, and they just had this, you know, some bucks in there doing absolutely nothing. So it's registered. It's on the market, right? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What would happen was you would hope to God.
I never heard of these stocks, by the way.
Oh, yeah, blind pools. So blind, well, because there's a reason why you never heard of these. So blind pools are basically these open, ready to go, kind of like, think of it as.
So you can do reverse mergers?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and I know what they are.
So basically what you do is you have these set up, and they're kind of like spec houses, right? Or they're kind of
And you wait for some company to come along and reverse merge into it, and then they're all – that way they don't have to put initial public offerings out. It's
right.
It's a backdoor way of doing it.
Right.
Or chicken shit way of getting on the market.
Right. But some of these things actually do well. For example, Virgin Galactic came out inside of a SPAC. Oftentimes they open at $10 a share. They hang out for a while, don't do much. The first one is Opus Acquisition Company. Now, this one is a Florida-based – and they just have news that they're going to be putting in, sometimes they put in decent companies, you know, or something that may have some legs. BurgerFi, which is kind of like a competitor to Shake Shack. Okay, they're down. They started.
What's
out
the name here. Of these guys?
Opus Acquisition Company.
No, BurgerFi.
BurgerFi, F-I. I'm not sure what the fi means, but it's Burger-FI. They have some good burgers. As a matter of fact, this week I was interviewed by a particular podcast called Fast Food Nation. All we talked about was burger companies. And it was a video deal. You could find it over on Foodable. Just look up Fast Food Nation and podcast, and you'll find it there. Anyway,
let's back up a second. What does SPAC stand for?
Special Purpose Acquisition Company.
Okay.
It's just a nice way to.
How do you find these companies?
You can find SPACs. You just find SPACs out there. Just look up listed SPACs.
Okay.
So we talked about it actually on Monday, and look at the stock today. I don't know if it's from our conversation, to be honest with you, because it has a decent audience, that Opus was taking this over. I'm not sure if it was what we talked about, but the stock was up 12.5% before I could even get my hands on it. The other one is Social Capital, Hedosiek, whatever, blah, 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 blah. There's nothing going on there right now, but there's a guy that's in charge of it, and I can never pronounce his name. Patabapalapalapas. It's a very long name. And very smart guy. And he's going to look to put some things in there. He's done some other really cool deals in there. And so I just thought for the hell of it, we'll just pick two SPACs that are out there just to follow them and see what happens.
Well, these things can either fail or skyrocket.
Yeah. Yeah. You should see what happened with Virgin Galactic. The guy, let me see. Let me just look up this. I want to get this guy's name and see if I can pronounce it. It's IPOC. IPOC, Social Capital Founder. Okay, it's Chamath Palihapitapati.
He's an Indian guy?
Yeah, Chamath Palihapitapati.
Just digging yourself a bigger hole.
Palihapitapati. It's a hard one, I'm sorry. Anyway, he's brilliant. I've seen him speak so many times. I'm really taken by this guy. So,
okay, well, then if he's a good BS artist, he might be able to pull something off big.
Yeah, there you go. He's the founder of the Social Capital, and there he is. He was born in Sri Lanka.
Moved to Canada at age 6. That's different. That's not an Indian.
He was he joined AOL, became the company's youngest vice president, heading its instant messaging division in 2004. He left AOL to go to the Mayfield Fund. A few months later, he left there and went to Facebook. Which was more than, it was about a year old. And I think he is a real, if I'm not mistaken, he left in 2011. So he definitely got some stuff going on there. He did a lot of investments in Disney, Bumptop, Palantir, Pure Storage, and the Peter Thiel guy, Slack. He's been involved in a lot of stuff. He's been in the World Series of Poker too. Cashed in for $175,000.
Yeah, well.
San Francisco housing inequality.
The more you tell me about this guy, the less I like him.
Criticism of Facebook, though, and social media. Big criticizer of social media. Part owner of the Warriors from Lavish from the chat room. Anyway, that just sums it all up.
All right, well, we'll see what happens.
All right, well, on that note, we'll see you again next week, sir.
Okay, talk to you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.